You know, I'm sorry I didn't know about this recording business earlier. It's a new medium for me, and I realize I've been rather awkward and self-conscious. Every medium has its own laws, and you've got to respect those laws. In the first place, and the last place too, I guess, the thing that hits me hardest is that the sound of my own voice is monotonous to me. It sort of puts me to sleep. I guess it'll put everyone to sleep. But I'm going to do better, I promise you that. But don't forget, Louie, the next time when I make a recording, have something good for me to drink, will you, while I'm doing it? But now that we're all through recording, I want to tell you what a wonderful experience it's been. Of course, it always is a great experience when you tackle a new medium. You not only learn something about the medium, you learn something about yourself. One of the first things I discovered, incidentally, is how monotonous is the sound of one's own voice. I'm thoroughly sick of it. Of course, it's one thing to sit down to a typewriter and, with God for your audience, you might say, and write. It's quite another thing to talk into the microphone. Though there's nobody in the room, you're all alone, just as you're all alone when you write. Nevertheless, you have the feeling that there are millions of ears out there. They're all hanging on trees, it seems like, the leaves and boughs. And that enters into the whole thing and affects you. It's a physical thing as well as a mental thing. You see, in this damn medium, I feel that if you sneeze or cough or laugh, it's all right. It's okay. It belongs. Everything that has to do with transmission, with the human voice, is involved. And in speech, there's a more direct contact. It's immediate, naturally. It has to go over. It has to register immediately. If it doesn't, it's a failure. In this studio room, before this little instrument, which is a frightening one, by the way, I must tell you, it gives you the creeps. You don't know what the hell's happening out there with those people who've got their ears glued to the whatever it is. I don't know, the apparatus. What the hell it's called, I don't remember. But anyhow, everybody seems to be... He's plugged in. His ears are all plugged up. And you're talking through those wires and those contraptions. And you got to get clear of that maze somehow. And you got to speak to him as though you were out in the open air under the sun and the leaves shining and all that sort of thing. And yet, you're just locked up in a room. That's what's creepy and eerie about it. You've got to believe that it's going to register, whether it does register or not. And in that way, it does somehow once again link up with writing. Because when you write, too, you've got to hear what you write, even though you didn't make a sound, even if the typewriter were a noiseless one. It has to make the sound of words in your head. But words, somehow, when you write them, you can paint them or you can use them musically, or you can make them graphic. You can be dramatic. You can do all sorts of things. And you can't do that over the microphone. That's what I'm getting at. This damn thing has its own laws, and I'm only beginning to get it now. And if I'd only been able to spend, say, another 10 days with you, and you had lots of good things to drink, don't forget about that, and we had all kinds of good things to eat, too, I think we could really knock out something. I think I could compose something, especially for this apparatus. There ought to be speeches or records, whatever you call them, made just for the microphone, huh? Or for the recording, for the tape, let's say. That's what it is, it's the tape. It's about the flimsiest, most perishable thing there is. I see you, I'm making a speech and you tell me at the same time I'm erasing one. Who ever heard of such a thing? It's a contradiction in itself. Do you see what I mean? I'll tell you something. Did it ever happen to you that you met a man who outsmarted you, out-talked you? You spent the whole evening in a state of frustration. You wanted to say something, and you open your mouth, and you begin, and He shuts you up. He out-talks you. He's faster than you. He gets the bead on you. Well, you know, sometimes you go home after an evening like that, and the funniest thing in the world happens. You go to bed, and you remember every damn thing that happened. And all those places where you were shut up, where he got the draw on you, so to speak, now you sing out beautifully. You know, you give him just the right answers. You're bright, the bright repartee. Well, I'm thinking, you know, on a night like that, what a wonderful thing it would be to have this bloody machine here alongside the bed. You just switch the light on, and then you'd prop yourself up on an elbow, and you'd begin to talk to that guy, huh?